Good morning to you again. Good to see you today. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour as we continue to look through the book of Genesis some and look at where man failed and discuss a little bit in more in depth some of those things that we see as we study through that. But I do thank you for being here today and putting up with me. Those who are listening by way of internet or whatever, we thank you for being present with us also. We will be in Genesis, like I said. We will be in the third and the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis today as we look at this together. So, bow me with a word of prayer, and then we'll, Lord willing, look at our study together. Again, Lord, we come as we do each and every day, not just on Sunday. Lord, asking that you would be with us as we travel through the journey of life each and every day. We thank you, Lord, for your watch care. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you provide for us. And Lord, may we never take life for granted, because we know without you, we would have already received our destiny, and that would be hell itself. So Lord, we ask today now that you would bless as we gather together, not only in this Sunday school hour, but also in our worship service. And Lord, everything that we say and do today, may you exalt and lift up in praise and glorify your precious name, because there is no other name, no other one that deserves all the honor and glory that we can muster up to give. Ask that you'd lead us by your precious Holy Spirit. Lead us daily and be with us today and walk us through your precious word. Open it up to us. May we see it, know it, and understand it, thus saith the Lord. And may we be able to express it that day, and may it find lodging in our heart, that it might draw us closer to you. Bless our time together this day, and we do ask it with thankful hearts. In the name of Christ, amen. Now, as we have looked last Sunday, we came to the point that Adam and Eve had sinned. Fear came into the picture for the first time. I'll back up for just a little bit as we look at this together. Remember that we said knowledge is all that can be known or be learned about a subject or topic. Now, when we look again, I'll remind you that when we look again, that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was in the garden prior to Adam and Eve's sin. Now, we said knowledge is all that you can know or learn about a subject. So if evil is not present, then how is it that there is a tree in the garden, that's the tree of knowledge and good and evil? So evil was present prior to Adam and Eve's sin. We notice in chapter 3 when the serpent showed up, where did he come from? He was already present. And he also knows, you know, sometimes we just kind of read over things. But now, if we look at the conversation that Eve and the serpent had, did he not know what was going on? Did he not know that God had commanded them not to eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil? If you look at that, he says to the woman, notice that first verse. And he said unto the woman, he said unto the woman, that's not a it, that's a he, that's an individual. That's Satan in disguise, in a serpent. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. So he knows what God has already said. He knows what has been told concerning the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't partake of that fruit. He knows that was a command of God. And then we talked about those things. And of course, the serpent said in verse number 4, unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. A liar from the beginning. Then we know that Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now I want you to notice in verse number 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Knowledge of evil. Now, Adam and Eve, now if you remember, then in chapter number 2 in the 25th verse, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now they find themselves in that position and they're ashamed of that position. So now, we are not fit to be in the presence of God. We're ashamed of our appearance. So what's going to happen? What did Adam and Eve do? Very plain what they did. They made themselves aprons. So they tried to cover their nakedness. They tried to cover their sin. They tried to clothe themselves. They tried to make themselves fit to be in the presence of God. Did it work? Well, let's look and see if it worked. Verse number 8 says, as we talked about last Sunday, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did what? They hid themselves. Now, they've made themselves aprons. No figs, they've clothed themselves. But are they comfortable in what they are wearing to stand in the presence of God? They steal something that says something's not right. So what did they do? They hid themselves from the presence of God. Now, that's a terrible position in a short time, in a position to be communicating with God every day and enjoying the presence of God and enjoy the blessings of God and enjoying the garden and all those things that He had provided for them. And all of a sudden, now they feel afraid of that God that they've been fellowshipping with. Hid themselves from Him. And the Lord called on Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, there is one thing that he has admitted, that he saw himself to be naked before God. Everything about us is clear before God. He knows every sin we have ever committed or ever will commit. Nothing is hid from God. We are naked in our sin before Him. So he admitted that. And it brought fear when he realized I'm in the presence of God. and I'm not fit to be where I am. So he said, I hid myself from you. I didn't want to face you. I was not in a position to face you. We've got a world that's not in a position to face God this morning because they're still in their sin, lost and undone. Many of them are trying to do something on their own. I went so far as to go by. I was going to do a little demonstration, and I don't know. I've not done it, so I guess the Lord won't in it. But I went so far as to go buy some balloons, and I bought some black ones, and I bought some white ones, and I bought a drum of helium. And I did it for a purpose, to demonstrate what we're looking at today. So I'll get back to that in just a moment, but now let's look a little bit deeper into this. Now, in verse number 11, and he, God, now notice it says, and he said, so he, God, said, who told thee that thou was naked? How did you know you were? And then he asked the question, hast thou eaten of the tree? Now, my question to you this morning is this. What brought sin on Adam and Eve? Is the fact that they eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was that the thing that generated the sin? Now, look at this verse that we're reading. And look at what God asked Adam. Hast thou eaten of the tree? So the question is, Adam, have you eaten of the tree? But now notice the next phrase. Whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. So what brought on the sin? They broke the commandment that God had commanded them, and partake of that which he told them not to partake of. He said, I commanded you not to eat, and you ate. And now you are reaping the results of breaking the commandment that I commanded thee not to do. Now, God has told us that we're all under sin, born in sin, doomed and damned. But still, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man come to the Father but by me. That's his command. If you get to the Father, you're going to come through Jesus Christ and through his saving grace and forgiveness of sin. But we do not want to obey what the plan that God has set forth. So we want to go ahead and do our own thing and live in a world of sin. And Adam and Eve have now broken the command of God, and that tree of knowledge of good and evil, that tree, that fruit that they've just eaten of, is like us being satisfied with the things of the world and don't want to have anything to do with the things of God. And the man said, now if you think when your children, if you got two of them around the house and something happens, and whose fault is it? It's not the one that did it, it's the one that didn't do it. It's always their fault. Well, that didn't start with just our generation. Because look at this. What did Adam say? Who is he going to blame? Is he going to take? Now, I want you to look at verse number 11 and look at the first phrase in that verse. The Lord said, who told thee that thou was naked? How do you know? Well, that woman you give me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. It's her fault. Lord said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. So it's his fault. We never take responsibility, do we, for what we've done. But that don't work with God. And then we look at this and we find out. But the thing is that really, I looked at this and we talked about this before. Who is the first person or the first thing that God addresses in the judgment on this? He said to the serpent. So judgment come first to him. And then, of course, we know it then it comes on down to Adam and Eve. And it comes to the point that death is a part now of Adam and Eve's life. But it's not only a physical death now that's a part of Adam and Eve's life, but now they're separated from God in the spiritual sense. There they stand before God now in fig leaves, clothes. And that's not going to work. And they know that they are not fit to be in his presence because they were afraid and they hid themselves. So now the relationship that they had prior to their sinning is now severed. So something's got to happen for that relationship to be restored. But now notice that as we look at this, in verse number 16, he says, I will multiply thy sorrows, talking to Eve. In conception and in sorrow shall thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And then Adam, thou hast hearkened to the voice of the wife, and has eaten of the tree of which, what? I commanded thee. So don't blame anybody but yourself. I told you, I commanded you not to partake thereof it, but you have. Saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Now he says, it curses the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and thorns and thistles. And we talked about all those things. And then the sweat of the brow, you eat bread. Until the ground which thou was taken, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. So now the curse. But I want you to notice, in sorrow, how many times is that mentioned as we look at these things? Adam and Eve, life is not going to be easy like it was prior to. He told them in the Garden of Eden, said, everything's here that you need. All I want you to do is dress it and keep it. And you partake of everything in this garden. The saying goes, it won't cost you a dime. just leave that tree of knowledge of good and evil alone. Now they throw all that away. Now they know what afraid is. Now they know what sorrow is. And it's going to be with them until the day they die. And now physical death has also come into the picture. You're not going to be it's not going to be an eternal life in the Garden of Eden now. It's going to be a temporary death, a temporary life in a world that's going to lead to death. And it's going to be outside the garden because we know it's going to be cast out. So then we have the phrase, and Adam called his wife Eve because she was, and notice the tense for that, the mother of all living. And I wish we had more detail on verse number 21. This is where I was going to get with my balloons and all those things. Let's look at this verse for just a moment. Unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Now, you're not fit to be in the presence, in my presence, Adam and Eve. Our relationship had been severed because of sin. Now, the only way that can be taken care of is if I, God, do something to bring you back in relationship, because you do not have the ability to bring us back together into proper relationship. Look at Romans. We're going to look at just a few verses here together. I said this is where I was going to get my balloons out, but maybe I can tell it to you. In Romans chapter number 3, verse number 10, pages sticking together this morning. As it is written. Written where? What is this that we're reading out of this morning? We're reading out of the Word of God. And he says, as it is written. As it's written in the Word of God. There is what? There is none righteous, no, not one. Not a single one of us. The state that Adam and Eve are in now as they stand before God, they're not righteous either. Not a single one. While we are in Romans, the third chapter, so we won't be turning back and forth as much, look at verse number 21. But now the righteousness of God without law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith. And by faith of who? Of Jesus Christ, unto who? All and upon all them that do what? That believe, and there is no difference. So now, how is anybody, you and I, Adam and Eve, or anybody going to be brought into a right relationship with God Almighty. There is no righteousness in us. Not one of us are righteous. But he said the righteousness of God is by what? He said that's by the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's unto all and upon all them that do what? That believe. That believe. So how do we obtain righteousness? We obtain righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. When we come to the point that we were like Adam and Eve, we fear the judgment of God. We know that we are sinners, and we know that we deserve to go to hell, and we know that we are going to hell. And the only way to escape that is to acknowledge our sin before God and ask Him to forgive us through Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior. And then we are put in a right relationship with God. Then we can obtain God's righteousness. Then there can be some little good in you and I. In Isaiah chapter number 64, in verse number 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, notice it, are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Your self-righteousness won't do a thing in the world but take your Father from the Lord. In Philippians, in chapter number 3, and I think we have a good example here when we look at who we're talking about in the book of Philippians. Paul's talking about himself. I think if we ever have seen a man of God, we'd say Paul was that man. Now, in verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I counted all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. What did we say knowledge was? All you can learn and all you can know about a thing or a person. Knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, notice my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but none, that I may what? That I may win Christ. And be found in Him, not having my own what? Righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. How in the world are you ever going to obtain any kind of righteousness that's pleasing to God? Only through and by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's the only way. Now, what I was going to do, I was going to take that black balloon and I was going to blow it up. I was going to blow it up. That breath was going to come out of me that blew that black balloon up. And it stayed black the whole time. It didn't change. And I lived my life. And I think that I've done something to obtain favor with God. You can come to church all your life and still be lost. You can do a lot of things in church and still be lost. You can be baptized till you turn like a prune and still be lost. It's not what you do, it's what He does. It's the saving grace of Jesus Christ. By grace are we saved through faith. Now, I mentioned this to you the other day. By grace. What is grace? God's mercy on us. And it says, by His grace are you saved through faith. What is faith? Faith is believing in Jesus Christ. And then what's the next phrase in that verse? And that not of yourselves. It's not your doings. And the only reason that you and I have ever had any faith or ever will have any faith is because of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit that had drawn us to know that faith. He drew you and I to salvation. He drew you and I to saving grace. So I live my life and I've done like the Pharisees did in Luke 18. Pharisee stood up, done all his fancy praying and said, I'm glad I'm not like that publican standing over here. You know, I might need to read that to you. Look at Luke 18 for just a moment. I'll drop that balloon in just a minute. Eighteenth chapter of the book of Luke. Look with me at verse number 9. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and desirous of others. Now, He spake this to who? He spake this concerning some which trusted in themselves and they were righteous. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, or extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. Who's he pinning a rose on? Who's he looking to for what he is? Now, I want you to notice something in this verse. And it says that he stood up and he prayed thus with what? Within himself. God's not in 1,000 miles of this prayer. How do we know that? He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You can give your tithes. You can even fast. You can be here every time the door's open. You can have your name written on as a member of Benton Grove Baptist Church in permanent ink that can't never be erased by man, but it can be erased by God. And a publican standing afar off will not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you want to know what brings saving grace and what brings righteousness to you, that's the phrase. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And he says, and I tell you, this man went down to his house, walked, justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, I was going to take that black balloon that I had just blown up and say, okay, it's time for me to go home. Death knocks on the door and I die. My soul departs, and if I take that balloon that I've blown up of my own breath and I drop that black balloon, which way is it going? But I got me a drum of helium and I was going to blow up a white balloon. That helium didn't come out of me. That helium come from another source. That helium has the ability to make that balloon do what? It'll go up, won't it? And one day, when I admitted that I was a young boy, unfit to be in the presence of God, asked Him to forgive me for my sin and save me by His marvelous grace. And guess what? He did. And the Holy Spirit came in. That's another source. And that's the source that has stayed with me ever since the day that I trusted Him. And that's the source that when I take my last breath, that righteousness is going to come forth. And I had a white balloon, the righteousness of God, and that's what's going to take me home. How about you this morning? Are you clothed in His righteousness? God bless you and thank you for listening.